You're listening to the Body Pros podcast coverage of the 2008 ICAC IDSA Joint Conference. The conference took place in Washington, D.C. from October 25th through October 28th, 2008.
Welcome. This is Bonnie Goldman, editorial director of The Body Pro. Right now, I'm in the poster session where researchers are standing in front of their posters. There's nothing like hearing the results of research directly from those who have actually conducted the research. It is these women and men who are transforming HIV treatment and care. In this podcast, the researchers will introduce themselves and then summarize their study. After their summary, I'll ask a few questions.
I'm Michael Landrum. I work in San Antonio at Fort Sam Houston, Texas, and also with the Infectious Disease Clinical Research Program from the Uniformed Services University in Bethesda, Maryland. And we examined hepatitis B vaccine responses in our cohort of HIV-positive individuals, of which we looked at 626 participants in our study that had been vaccinated with hepatitis B vaccine after their HIV diagnosis. And what we found was that individuals on highly active antiretroviral therapy or HART did have a significantly improved likelihood of developing a response to hepatitis B vaccine, and it improved their response rates by about a factor of twofold.
And why was that? Do we understand the mechanism to that?
Not entirely clear, although we think that it has to do with improved CD4 cell function because hepatitis B vaccine requires your CD4 cells to be functioning well to respond to the vaccine.
I see. It was hard to improve the HBV vaccine with people who had more than 350 T-cell count.
Correct. So we also looked if HART benefited all patients or specifically patients with lower CD4 cell counts, and we found that it actually benefited all patients. Even those with CD4 cell counts greater than 350 cells, those individuals that were on HART with higher CD4 cell counts still had benefit from being on highly active antiretroviral therapy, similar to other recent investigations which have shown benefits of people being on HART even at relatively preserved or high CD4 cell counts.
Uh-huh. So do you know what the prevalence of HBV is in people with HIV?
Well, in our cohort, if you look for any serologic evidence of hepatitis B infection, it's about 40 to 50%. And for chronic hepatitis B, it's around 3 to 4% total. So it's a very big problem in HIV-infected people.
Uh-huh. And what are the guidelines now? When someone gets infected with HIV, are the guidelines to also get tested for hepatitis B and then to get treatment the same time they're getting HART, or is that delayed at all?
So the guideline recommendations are for HIV-positive individuals to be tested for hepatitis B at the time they're diagnosed with HIV. If they're not infected with hepatitis B, they should be vaccinated against it. And if they are, then whether or not they get initiated on treatment for both hepatitis B and HIV depends to some degree on how active their hepatitis B is and their stage of HIV infection, although most folks now are leaning more towards treating them early for both infections.
What's the take-home here? Is more immunization?
Well, so the take-home, I think, is that HART is beneficial in regards to hepatitis B vaccine responses, but unfortunately the responses we saw in individuals that were on HART was still low, 44%.
And how does that compare with non-infected?
For non-infected individuals, it's about 90%. And so there are a lot of factors that come into play. They need to make sure that they complete their vaccination series. That's another factor we found, which was very important.
Meaning HIV-infected people didn't complete their series?
Correct. And so in clinical practice, one limitation is that they may start the immunization series, but they don't complete it. And that's been shown now in our study and in other studies. And so that's a very important point. They need to complete their vaccination series.
So could you talk a little bit about the patient characteristics here?
Sure. So our patient characteristics, again, we had 626 individuals that have been vaccinated against hepatitis B. Overall, their median age was approximately 30 years. Their breakdown of their ethnicity was about 45% Caucasian and African Americans and another 10 to 15% other ethnicities. And CD4 cell counts at the time of their vaccinations were relatively preserved still with a median of 490 cells. So relatively healthy group of patients.
Are these all veterans?
They are mostly folks serving on active duty or their dependents, or they could also be veterans, but our cohort includes mostly active duty individuals.
Okay, that's interesting because I guess most people don't know that HIV-infected individuals can still be on active duty. I thought they were taken off of active duty.
No, that's not correct. HIV-infected individuals can continue to serve their country on active duty.
But these are people who are located in Texas, meaning, or they were in Iraq coming back and forth. Would you know?
So our cohort is at 7 participating Department of Defense military or medical treatment facilities, of which San Antonio, where I work, is one of them. But there are a couple of National Naval Medical Center in Bethesda, Walter Reed here in Washington, D.C., and some other centers. And so most folks are on active duty and followed in one of those clinics.
So was there any understanding of why people weren't continuing with their vaccination series? Was it because they were going off to Iraq or something? Or?
Great question. So HIV-infected folks are not getting deployed, so they weren't going off to Iraq, but the next analysis we're planning is trying to look at factors that were associated with who at least started the series and then who completed the series. The military is an open access care model so that all healthcare, vaccines, medications are all free of charge to the patient. They're actually pretty good guidelines for when you're on active duty for when you need to get staging evaluations for HIV. And so we know that they're being seen in clinics. And so the reasons why they're not completing their series isn't entirely clear. And we're going back all the way to 1988 here. So, I mean, guidelines have changed over the years. Clinical practices have changed. And currently our immunization coverage and completion rates are much better, but we haven't done the formal analysis of that.
In a military setting, isn't it easier to follow up with patients? I mean, aren't they, you know, they're kind of within a small boundary?
That's right. It's what we call a closed healthcare system. So they do have to come to certain clinics to be seen.
So just because this is a military world, do we know what the risk factor was for HIV?
Now you're really starting to get out there and ask those probing questions. And I can't tell you for our cohort overall. There was a study published a few years ago looking at risk factors, but we don't have the data on everyone in the cohort.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
The opinions expressed by hosts or interviewees in this podcast do not constitute professional advice, should not be considered substitutes for professional services, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of Body Health Resources Corporation or its sponsors. Please see the full disclaimer online at thebodypro.com. If you have comments or questions, please contact us.
Thank you for listening to this report from the 2008 ICAC IDSA Joint Conference. For more coverage of this conference, visit us online at thebodypro.com/ICAAC2008.